Make it sure this time. All right. Had a lapel mic on a while ago. Anyway. I knew I had it. I forgot I had it on. How many of y'all had a long day today? Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? It does happen. And so, but I'm always blessed to come to church, aren't you? Amen. And just get blessed. Get blessed. All right. Let's have Brother Cox and Ms. Cox come up if you would. And Brother Ms. Cushel, y'all ready? Yeah.
Phew.
Us. Yeah. Did y'all go on this side and let the... Nobody nervous? You even have a, you have a microphone. Come on. Good. Somebody has to have a microphone. This is so amazing. How's it feel? How's it feel to be up here? Is it good? Everybody all right? All right. I know. They always said Miss Cox always wanted to be a woman preacher. Just that little verse in there that says you got to be the husband of one wife is really, really tough, isn't it? All right. I'm just going to start. It's good to have Brother Miss Cox. Brother Cox has been our senior saints pastor for a millennia. We appreciate him being with us tonight. Brother Cushel's the new staff member. Yeah, sort of. And we're glad he's able to be here with us tonight, his wife. I'm glad they chose to be here. And I'm glad they chose to do this tonight. All right. Well, let's start with Brother Cox. You can get us started. All right, so when and where did you meet? When and where did you meet?
When? We first met at a revival in her church in Haven, Kansas. Her pastor had a heart attack, and our pastor filled in during that time. On a Saturday evening, there was a youth meeting, and that's where I first saw her in church. So during a revival, I got revived.
Miss Jenny, would you like to add anything to that?
Well, I would like to add to it because it's a very small community, population 1,300, and all of the Christian boys that I knew were duds. I mean, D-U-D-S with 17 exclamation marks. I mean,
that's how you spell it? I didn't know, so I'm just making sure.
Trying to help you out.
Okay.
Anyway, so when we had the refreshment time after the meeting, we were all sitting around a table, and Gary's pastor, Brother Roy, asked him to stand and pray, and he stood right up, and he prayed. And I was impressed because I wanted someone who was going to be serious about his Christian faith. And so that was a tip-off right there, although we didn't actually start dating until later.
All right, Brother Cushel, we answer the same. When and where did you meet?
All
I understand
right.
This is a point of contention, too, so I'm anxious to see how
I haven't read these questions until about the last hour, but I did get a piece of paper from Mrs. Crawford about a week ago, and I saw question number one, and I was like, oh, we're over. It's done. I'm going to need a ride home from somebody after the church tonight. So I'm going to tell you the truth, and then you can listen to the rest. You call that what you want in a minute. So I'm at Bible college, and my freshman year of Bible college, my roommate during chapel was sitting next to me, and Hannah Ewing at the time, and two other ladies, I believe, came up and they sang a special during the chapel service. She was in high school at the time, 3 years younger than me, and I'll never forget my buddy in college, he kind of nudges me while they're singing. He looks at me and he goes, redhead, and he goes, and kind of like lifted up his eyebrows. And I looked at him, I said, dude, I don't want to date a redhead. Fast forward about 4 years. I'm a master's student at Crown, and I've been serving in a specific Sunday school class in the bus ministry for about 4 years at that point, the same class I've been serving in for 4 years. She shows up into my Bible Sunday school class, and she's, you know how, like, when you're, you know how when you know someone's kind of looking at you, when you got eyes on you? She's checking me out. And so for a while, she was like my Sunday school stalker. And so eventually we ended up talking and everything else. But I was in that class for like 4 years, long before she'd ever been there. That is the truth. And the rest is her story.
Before she starts, I'd just like to point out that there was a key phrase in there, master's program. Anybody in Bible college who doesn't get married in Bible college goes back to get the master's. Mark it down. That's the way I, that is absolutely true.
He failed to mention that I had already been going to that church since I was 4 years old. And he was working in a class where my best friend was, and I started working in there over the summer. I didn't know he was coming back for master's. I didn't know him necessarily. I knew of him from college. He was on the soccer team, and he would always do, like front flips and stuff. And then we would do like these missionary villages, and he was always the court jester, which if you know him, that's a very fitting role for him to be in. So I knew of him, and he had come in my previous class that I was working in, and told this crazy story, about getting pulled over by a police officer that happened to go to the church that he was supposed to be helping out. You know, and so in my mind, this guy is weird, and we're just going to stay away from him. We did officially meet in that first grade bus Sunday school class. I did not stalk him. In fact, my best friend can attest that I was not interested at first. She, like, begged me to even consider him. And I had a couple issues with him. I'm just going to put it out in the open. I had issues with him. One was he was weird, and I was like, And another one is he had... No, I'm not even getting there yet. He had...
She has a list.
He had holes in the bottom of his dress shoes. And I was like, you can't manage money well, and I can't do that. Come to find out, that wasn't... It was just a him issue, not financial issue. And another one is, I remember vividly telling my friend, I'm going to go stand next to him, and you have to tell me if he's taller than me. That was a big deal to me for some reason, I think, because all my brothers are over 6 feet tall.
So she was checking me out of what she was
talking about. No, I was making sure he measured up. And he did, barely. So then I was okay with it.
So how many of you in here know who Brother Tyler Gillett is? Pastor Worth Baptist Church? So Brother Tyler Gillett and Brother Kushel were good friends in Bible college. Am I correct?
The speeding ticket you're talking about was his ticket, not mine.
All point I want to make is the dignified, very dignified Brother Tyler Gillett, whom I believe to be one of the best preachers in the country, honestly. Yes, he was like this. What you describe. I just wanted, in case this makes it on Facebook, Brother Gillett, just want to make sure that we made that clear. All right. That's awesome. All right, so let's let your wife have this first one here. This will be easy, though. Actually, this should be just, no, not yes or no, but how long have you been married? A long time.
56 years, 8 months, no, 7 months, 18 days, and approximately 5 hours.
That's awesome.
Too very cool.
That's a long time to put up with Brother Cox. That's awesome, honestly. Very congratulations. How long have you been married?
We just celebrated our 15th wedding anniversary.
15th wedding anniversary.
Newlyweds.
That's awesome.
They're newlyweds.
We also had a clap for them, 15.
Yes.
Hey, I don't know what the national, I think the national average is like 4 or 5, so very good. Let's see. Here we get into some good things. We'll let you again start off with this one. What do y'all enjoy doing together? Okay, she's got a cheat sheet. We let Miss Bernie Lasseter have a cheat sheet too, so we go ahead.
A little balanced out. That one. What do y'all?
Yeah, is that? Say y'all.
Yeah, y'all.
I'm sorry you're from Kansas and don't know that term, but you all,
okay.
What do you all are using? Us and you can do whatever you want to say. Right.
Well, we guys enjoy doing together.
What do you guys?
You guys. Day trips.
Day
trips? We love to take day trips. We like to go cruising, not down Main Street, but on the water.
It's called at the drag.
Yeah. we like to travel in general, you know.
Okay.
So we like to do all that kind of stuff. And at home, we play table games, and we enjoy pajama days. We really like to go to our grandchildren. What?
Brother Clark. No, listen to Brother Clark. Just keep going.
The other way. We like to... we enjoy going to our grandchildren's events. We really, really like that a lot. That's one of the reasons we are here in this area, was to be close to our grandkids.
Man. I don't know. Add anything to that?
I don't know. What do you like doing together? Well, you did mention your favorite Billy Bob's, but...
That was Bobby Spivey back in the day. Bobby Spivey. Yeah, we used to make fun of her. All right.
He was so they covered about it. A cousin. I don't know.
Talk about your cousin. That's for free. That's because y'all from Kansas. Any other people from Kansas here?
Amen.
Oh, okay. That's from up Missouri. No, Kansas? Kazansan, Missouri. Okay. That's what's wrong. All right, what do y'all enjoy doing together?
I'd say we enjoy hanging out with our family, just anything, really. We've had several, I guess, hobbies, if you will. There for a while, we did RC cars as a family. That was a lot of fun, except that they would have to fix the cars after every single time we took them out, especially mine. And really just spending time with our kids. Casual things. We're not big planned event kind of thing. Spur of the moment is more of our thing. So we just enjoy being together. He likes it when I sit out there and watch him work on his car. I don't like that because I usually end up helping with something I don't want to do. But, oh, okay.
We like spending time together, and you don't have to spend a lot of money to enjoy being with
That's right.
Or with your family. And don't feel guilty about doing things just to be with each other. We don't have to spend a lot of money. One thing that's free is getting to pick on her. If you know us, then you know we pick on each other a lot. I don't know if we're like actually teasing each other or flirting or if we're actually mad at each other sometimes. But half the time I actually wonder sometimes. And sometimes I get, you know, you can tease someone to the point where you start to get under their skin. And that's when you just dig deeper and you keep going. And so we do that with one another. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
So if you didn't know this about Brother Kushel, Brother Kushel's a gearhead. He really is.
I told my wife, I tell her this multiple times, whenever she's like, stop, okay, stop. And she does it way more than I do to her. I promise that's true. And when that happens, I literally tell her, I will never stop. And I tell her, I'm going to be old one day in the nursing home with you, and I will do this in the nursing home. I will never stop. And then my mansion will be next year's in heaven, and it will never, ever end. So we love one another.
Kind of like... Yeah.
I do have something to add to that. We were married for, I don't know, it was just a few weeks, and we started wrestling with each other. I have three brothers, and they were not the sweet, dote on their sister kind of brothers. They were the, you're one of us, handle yourself. No, this is the honest truth. We were wrestling, and I think he might have started tickling me. I'm not sure, but I flipped him over. Completely flipped him over. I won that wrestling match. I've won quite a few, actually.
That's awesome. You can't top that one.
Can we leave the platform now?
Yeah. Again, we talk a lot about we should have hobbies together. We should have things that you enjoy doing together. And it can be things like my wife and I, whether it's flea markets or whether it's helping with vehicles And two, at their stage in life, it is about the kids a lot, right? It's about the kids and their activities and their things that they're doing. And a lot of those things you're doing together, or you're trying to take every kid to baseball, blah, blah, you know, everywhere that can be done. But having things to do together, making sure that you're spending time together. And Brother Kushel brought out the point, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It'd be something as simple as going walking or hiking or it can be, you know, lots of different things. So make sure that you're spending time. Again, I know I'm a broken record, but time is love.
And Pastor, at our age, is about making memories together. So yeah. We can look back and say, hey.
Cruises y'all take together.
Exactly. Yeah.
The trips y'all take together, yes. And I think my wife and I are close to that now, too, where I'd much rather have an experience going somewhere than to buy something else. I'd rather take a trip together and make those memories together. And that way, too, you have something to take a picture of and put it on Facebook. All right, Brother Kusser can start this one. What is your favorite date night?
I kind of alluded to it already. We enjoy doing things that aren't expensive, and it makes it more enjoyable for us. I don't think it's wrong to do it the other way around, but we like to go, like, for instance, go get some cheap food and then go sit in a parking lot. Go sit in the Target or the Walmart parking lot and just people watch.
Yeah.
It's awesome. All the entertainment's there, and this is a great area for that. It's just fun to watch people and laugh and goof off. We enjoy that kind of stuff. So
you're both stalkers, is what you're saying.
She taught that. Yeah, she taught me that.
She rubbed off on you.
Just watching a movie together, right? Things like that. We enjoy that. One thing that we really enjoy, you can go and spend $50 on a dinner night or whatever, $200. But what we really love is, like, stay home and watch a movie together, and we'll make, like, a cheese and or chocolate fondue thing. $25, and you're eating like a king and queen. And it's just enjoyable, just, I don't know, being at home together.
Right. And I'd encourage it as, and they may bring this out, but just when you have kids to their age, it's good for them to have a bedtime, a definite bedtime. And that bedtime should be around 9 o'clock or earlier. And you should have some time together after that. All right. Mama and daddy should never let their kids sleep with them. Don't start it. If you are a new mommy and daddy, are about to be a new mommy and daddy, don't ever start it. Don't ever start it. Don't put that first kid in bed with you. Don't do it. We made that mistake. And we broke it pretty quick. Yeah. So just giving you advice. We're good. Spending time. All right. Did you have an addition to that?
No, we just, I several times have had the kids help me make the chocolate fondue and them knowing that they can't eat it.
That's what I'm
And then
about.
He will sneak them a piece after we've put them to bed. But I agree with him. I feel better about our time together when we aren't spending money. I almost feel guilty. And like you said, it's not wrong. That's just my personality.
No,
I would much rather be
a stage of life
else.
You're in, though. I mean, that is part of that stage of life. Unlike this couple. And my wife and I mean, we don't have the kids' expenses much anymore. Much anymore. We're thankful for that.
And we're blessed. We're not in need. I'm not giving that across.
We're not in need.
He doesn't have holes in his shoes anymore.
No way are you coming across that way. I promise you, you're not. Every one of these couples understands where this couple that have been here understand where they're at. But couples who are at this stage, or about to be at this stage, understand that at that stage in life, it's really not about money. It's about the time you can spend and making those times and making sure the kids aren't number one. The kids are number two. Amen. And so that means putting kids to bed early. That means making sure your kids don't overwhelm you with sports and doing too many things and too much activity and too much things. And keep that, you know, to a, you know, slow funnel. I'm sorry. I'm preaching now. Go ahead, Brother Cox.
Our date nights will vary. It's not going to be McDonald's, but anyway, we do try to go out to a nice restaurant, something nicer than what we've been before. Occasionally, movies at home, like you mentioned, and popcorn, and just basically whatever time we are able to put in, and whatever, not in necessarily assigned date night, but it's just whatever we can kind of squeeze in and away from family and whatever together. I do have a question, though. You said no kids in bed. Does that count for dogs? Cats?
At your stage, yeah.
No dog is sleeping in my bed.
Do you want your dog? There's people. I know people. I know some. Yeah. Anyway. All right. I'll move on.
Well, when I was a teenager, I heard a youth director speak once, and he said, you know, date to mate. Don't just date to mate. And so once you've got that mate, you keep dating to keep that mate.
Right.
And I believe that's what we try and do, have done. And since we have a track record, I believe that's true.
You do have a good track record. So
glad you clarified date to mate. I was not thinking that at all.
Yeah.
In a good way. Good way.
I'm just saying.
You are an evil man.
And we'll move on from that. But yes, we ought to continue dating our spouse And some of you who are at this stage and even younger, you're going to have to make an effort of that to continue dating your spouse. Date your spouse. I'm moving on. Number five. Brother Cox, what is your favorite thing about? What's your favorite thing about each other?
I don't know why she has a cheat sheet. I have no idea. Can't think of anything. You have to have it written down.
Oh, too many to count.
Oh, too many to count.
That's good. I like that.
Favorite thing about each other. I think Jeannie keeps me on my toes. She is very well organized, and sometimes I will tend to have an idea and run with it without thinking it through. She can stop and kind of make me think of all the ins and outs about it, which frustrates me to no end because I want to go ahead and do it. But she really very well organized, takes care of the details and things that really help make it all work and make it all go.
Well, I was serious. There are too many things to count. The world would say I lucked out, but I didn't luck out. I was very blessed with the husband that the Lord gave me. One of the things that I really appreciate about him is that he puts up with me. We've been married all those many years, and I've probably been four or five different people. And most of them he has liked. There were, 10, 12 years that maybe not.
Make sure we get that in close. That needs to be clipped out like that one.
But seriously, I've always appreciated his steadfastness. He just sticks to it, keeps on keeping on no matter what the circumstances. And he's just a kind man. Yes. He's kind to me, and he's kind to others, and I really appreciate that.
And for some of our visitors or new members to understand, Brother Cox has been in the ministry how many years?
Over 50.
Pastoring how many of those?
Oh.
40. Yeah. A long time. So,
yeah.
And just to see again someone who stood by the stuff, and the marriage and ministry is just amazing.
Yep. I love my wife's beautiful smile and the spirit behind her smile so much more than that even. And her desire, her consistent and steadfast desire to want to please the Lord with her life, her family upbringing. The first thing that really actually drew me in about her, and I've told her this many times, was when I would see her with the children that were in that Sunday school class and other children, the way that she loved on them really said a lot to me about her.
And so,
one of my favorite things about him is he can pretty much fix anything, and I tend to break a lot of things. So, like, in my mind, he can fix it all. And he really has. So there are many things, simple things like fixing a washer and dryer right after, they break right after you have kids or whatever at a really bad time. And it's never convenient, but he's always been able to fix everything for me. And he doesn't really complain about it. He should, because I'm not very kind to him about, I want it fixed right now. And anyway, so I do appreciate that about him, that he not just that he can, but that he will, and he does repeatedly fix things for the kids and I. I appreciate the wonderful father that he is. That was a really big desire of mine, to have a father like my own who put the Lord first, and our children know that. They know that their dad loves the Lord and serves the Lord, and I greatly appreciate that. He's not perfect, but our kids are growing up in a home where they know that their daddy loves the Lord, and he is leading them in their desire to serve the Lord. I greatly appreciate that. And he knows, if you've ever seen his Bible, I don't know how he can read the actual words in the Bible. He has it marked so much. But that's just someone who, he's not coloring in there. He is studying God's word, and he's leaving notes, and and he just knows God's word. And I greatly appreciate that because he can lead our family in a biblical way because he is in God's word and he knows God's word and he truly lives that out. And one other thing is who you see is who you get. Like, he is not a different person at home than he is. He really is. He's this great, too. he doesn't put on a show. He is a true individual. You know, and what you see at school, he can be serious, but, you know, we're not getting a different person at home than you all see with us out in public, and I greatly appreciate that.
That's the way it should be. Absolutely. Okay, so what is the worst gift you've gotten each other? Did you figure that one out? Or?
You know, really, we couldn't think of anything. Both of us drew a blank because she's so thoughtful. She'll kind of know ahead of time, anticipate ahead of time what I'm looking at, what I need. And I don't think I've ever gotten a bad gift from her. Maybe surprised me, but I thought, oh, okay, I can see it now. But no, I've never really gotten anything bad from her gift-wise.
Gift-wise. Oh, that's good. No, he's trying to. He's really trying hard. That was awesome. Yeah,
he's a great gift giver. When we were dating, the first gift that he ever gave me a softball and a bottle of perfume, because he'd already figured out my basic personality. I love to play sports, and I also like to dress up and have nice smelling perfume on. And he has never given me a bad gift at all.
Okay. All right, how about y'all? Anything interesting?
I'm a terrible gift giver, I'll just tell y'all now. So he has lots of things that he could say. He's a great gift giver, very thoughtful and everything. So I got nothing.
One of the first gifts she gives me. I mean, I'm a car guy. I ride motorcycles in college and stuff. And she knew that about me while we're dating. So she's a terrible gift giver, actually. It's just like, but it's so bad that it's fun and funny. So, and this was the first time. She's so mad at me right now for saying this. She told me not to tell, but I don't care. I think it was Valentine's Day. She got me a remote-controlled car, but it was the kind that has the wire that attaches from the remote to the car, and you have to walk and follow it. So yeah. I laughed at her at the moment she gave it to me. I couldn't help it. And I gave it away to one of the both kids. I did not even open it, I don't think. I'm pretty sure.
That's awesome.
And there's a lot more, but we don't talk.
Still, Brother Clovis and Miss Judy, y'all was awesome. And I'll never forget about the bricks and all that. That was good. All right. And so because of time, we'll continue to move on here. Brother Cox, what is something you've grown to appreciate about your spouse after being married for a long time? You're welcome. It says decades on the notes, but I didn't say that.
I appreciate the fact that she has learned to be flexible and adaptable in the ministry. She did not get the callings as to where we were going to go. But wherever we went, whatever culture, whatever atmosphere, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, she's adjusted. And our kids, I appreciate so much how she's been the mother of our four children, three girls and one boy. And she always took care of them and helped them. And where I was not always maybe able to be there at a time when counseling or helping somebody else out, she was always there to take care of our kids and flexible to be able to adjust to every situation, no matter what. And I appreciate so much her just jumping in and doing it without me telling her how to do it. She just knew exactly what needed to be done.
This is another one where there are many things that I could talk about, but one of the things in many of our places of ministry, they have been small churches with small salaries, and we did have four children, and Gary would take on extra outside the ministry jobs in order to meet not only basic needs but also some of the wants that we as a family had. And I've always appreciated that about him. He's not afraid to work hard. And so that's that.
Good.
I have grown to really appreciate how he provides for our family. Before we had children, I worked. But after we had Ellie, I lost my job. And he just stepped in there and would do whatever he could to provide for our family. Similar to what she's saying, our needs have always been taken care of, but also, you know, our wants and extra things. And I truly appreciate that he has taken such good care of us.
That's the Lord. But for her, one thing I've always appreciated about her, but I'm starting to appreciate it much more, is she grew up in a home, and maybe you can relate to this, some of you, where the family could, like, sit together and they could talk and just spend time together. My family wasn't that way. And if we were together, it was always doing something. And so it was awkward to even have conversations. We never played games together, things like that, board games or anything like that. Her family can do that for hours and hours still to this day. It's weird. But I appreciate that because it's something that where I'm weak, and so she helps me grow in that area. So. And she does that with our children, which is wonderful. I would much rather hear her learn that than what, you know, all my flaws. So,
I think both of you having that same, both of the ladies having that same opinion or thought about the husband taking care of the wife and family, because one of the greatest needs of a woman, a wife, is financial stability, and top five. And so to have that financial stability and the willingness to do other things. And we've done that over the years, too. Did whatever we had to do to provide for our families. So, all right. We're running out of time. So I'm going to skip. We're not going to skip the next one, though. Any advice or give some advice on family devotions? Some things you've done.
Well, when the kids were smaller, it was the Bible stories. Easy to do to help them understand the basic Bible stories. And there's a 12 years difference between our first child and our last child. And as time went on, we were trying to transition the older kids to be able to have devotions on their own with our guidance and help. But we wanted them not to ride the mom and dad's coattails. We did not want them to scoot into their spiritual life off of us. We wanted them to develop their own spiritual life, their own time of study, and their own time of devotion. So we tried to do that in the transition as they got older.
The other day, Pastor, you mentioned the daily bread,
mm-hmm.
and we used that a lot,
yeah.
Especially when the kids did get a little older, because it took about 5 minutes at the dinner table. And so we would use that, and like Hannah's family, we always had lots of open communication. Lots of talking, you got to wait your turn, and so on and so forth. So that has been a blessing over the years to see them develop their own and work with their families to establish that family altar. And I agree with what you said. We're not always as disciplined about that as we should be. So it takes practice.
Got to keep trying. Special.
Well, we're in the middle of still trying to raise our children, and I guess the only thing I would say is it's hard, but it's hard to be consistent with it. But if you fail to be consistent, just start all over again. That might be a weekly thing, you know. And getting your children involved, we read a devotional and the kids beg to read it. And that helps because it reminds us, oh, yeah, we're wanting to read a devotional, and we have like verse cards. And, you know, so the children being hands-on involved helps us remember to do it, and it keeps us accountable and gets them involved in it.
I would say do not give up.
No.
Get back on the horse, and don't allow your guilt to guide your family's future.
That's good.
Don't allow guilt to be the reason why you are, you know, I'll just mess up again or I'll forget again. Get back on the horse. A just man falleth, but he rises up, and he rises up seven times. And so stay faithful and be steadfast at that desire and follow that desire. It's a godly desire, and God put that in your heart. Get back on the horse and do it again. And so we always pray together, but sometimes we're weak in our, if you will, devotional family life sometimes, and we ebb and flow there, and life happens, and there, you know, we we do enjoy singing together as a family. Instead of calling it a devotional time, I've always in my mind kind of call it like family worship time, where we can sing to Christ together. And I think that's a very healthy thing for a family that can sing to the Lord together.
I can't encourage you enough. Go ahead.
Well, one of the other things that we did years ago, Baptist Bible College had a box with all the different missionaries in it.
Yeah.
And we would every meal bring a missionary out and pray for it. Of course, we were also blessed in that we got to have missionaries stay in our home. And so they got to, you know, meet them and spend time with them. And so involving them. And one thing that I wish we had done is, even if we only had $3 or $4, I wish we had taught the kids during our family devotion times, how can we use that money to be a blessing to somebody else, and specifically work towards teaching them how to be a blessing to other people, either with time or money or gifts or whatever the case might be. And that could have been a real important part of our family devotion.
I think Brother Kushel's point, too, about just because you missed a month or two, even, don't let the devil guilt you into starting back up. Well, you know, I haven't done it, whatever. My kids are going to think, no, your kids will be fine. They're going to love you no matter what, as long as you're genuine and living, as we've already stated, if you're practicing what you preach, take it back up. Go again. There's devotionals back here in the back you can buy that written by Paul Chappell and others. And you simply take that 5 or 10 minutes and, you know, pray together and whatever. And so, again, it's about starting over. And I'm pastor here. I'll do everything but take my socks off and tell you, we struggled over the years as well, just like every family does, and you keep at it. Me and Brother John had discussions about family altar multiple times and how that ebb and flow, and you struggle and keep at it. And it could be one of the most blessed times in your family's life. And I appreciate my dad, as I said Sunday, who was very consistent during the school year, especially. Now in the summer, you know, again, God's not going to strike you dead if you don't have family devotion, you know, or not. Anyway, there may be times in which the summer may be one of those times where you say, well, we just don't, not as consistent. And just keep at it. I'm going to skip to number 9. Just real quickly, tell the importance of prioritizing church. I know you guys are staff, so this is going to be, we didn't do this on purpose to have two ministerial couples, but this is something we all deal with. And I think, what's your advice, Brother Cox? Do that, however you would like to say.
Well,
maybe she has more.
She has an answer.
I wrote this down. If Dad didn't show up for church, he didn't get paid.
That's it. He's the pastor. That's, my wife said that every once in a while to me on Sunday morning. I'm like, I just don't feel like what it is. She said, you don't get up. No.
You're
the pastor. You got to go.
I do. It's a hard thing to try to convince children that I am not. You know, we go even if I wasn't the pastor, and it was kind of difficult to try to transition or help them to understand that. But they needed it. It was something they had to do, put the Lord first in their life every Sunday. And, after a while, it wasn't a matter of we're going. They knew the time. They knew the routine. They knew what had to be done, what should be done. But it can be difficult.
Yeah. And y'all want to add something?
What comes to my mind is this. What does Christ love? What did he give his life for? The church. What age do we live in right now in the grand scheme of things? The church age. Let's be part of what Jesus is. Let's be part of the organism and the organization that Christ is working through today, and that's the church. I've never met a consistent Christian that was not consistent in his connection to Christ's church.
I wish every young couple would just make the decision that we're going to be at church no matter what. And if my baseball team decides to play a game on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, my kid won't play. That's the rule we had growing up. In fact, our kids were pretty good at sports. And so there was times in which the league and the coach screamed, change the day. His kids can't play. We need to change our if every parent stood up, this would not be a problem anymore. We enjoyed sports with our kids, but it never took the place, and they could never play on. And by the way, we made some games on Sunday afternoon. I don't have a problem with that. You can be back at church. At least that's between you and God, but I didn't have a problem with that. If you can make a Sunday afternoon game and get back here in time, praise the Lord. and do those things. But Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible conferences. Our teams knew if there was a Bible conference, a revival meeting, my kids weren't going to be at your game or at their practices. My dad, growing up, because our church was 20 miles away, when I had football, listen to this, I'm playing varsity football in high school, and on Wednesdays, I had to leave the practice early, and I had to take the torment and the ridicule for that for a while. Anyway, it wasn't that big a deal, but it also means I didn't have to run gassers at the end of practice. And so, but my dad made sure that the coach knew, and the coach was a Catholic. He was a good Catholic. And he said, yeah, he understood. So make priority. And I always bring up sports because that is the number one reason young couples are not in church, because they let their kids play. So please make that a prayer and make church first. All right. Lastly, what advice would you give to a young couple, married couple, today to help them have a successful marriage and family? Just what would your advice be?
I will pass on what was passed on to us when we first got married. Never let the sun go down on your wrath. There will be fights, there will be arguments, there will be disputes, but let that sundown time be the goal by which you settle it and never go to bed mad and angry with each other. It's not that important. And swallow your pride. Do whatever you have to do, but make sure that it's settled by the end of the day, or you'll carry it with you the next day and the next and the next, unless you put a time limit on that.
I've spent many a sleepless night. Okay.
Now the truth comes out.
Don't put the kids first.
That's it.
Put your spouse first. Those kids are going to grow up, and it's going to happen faster than you think it will. Wow, it does. They just grow up and they're gone. And our responsibility was to teach them to be independent, responsible adults. I've noticed that there seems to be a problem with adulting.
Yeah.
Among a lot of younger couples, and I do mean couples, because they are still relying on mommy and daddy to take care of things. So put your spouse first. Don't let those kids run the home. You are bigger than they are.
I'm bigger. I'm big. You're tiny. You're not going to tell me what to do. And then as they get bigger, he who pays the bills makes the rules. I pay the bills. Me and mommy pay the bills, and so you're going to do what I tell you to do. Amen. You say, well, preacher, it's not that simple. It really is. Amen. And once you create that culture in your home, and you do that, again, by relationships with your kids. You can't be that, that forceful and those things that you need to be unless you have developed a relationship with your child. And you develop that relationship by spending time with them.
Not anyone in this room, not thinking about anyone in here or in our church, but we have multiple families in the school where it's interesting because the child is the one that gets to decide whether or not they come back to school the next year or here or go somewhere else. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm the parent. I would make that decision for my child, and it's my responsibility before God to do that. Just on what y'all are saying there. And then also, one thing that I like to think about a lot is, so when my wife and I fell in love, I don't like that phrase too much, but we fell in love and we loved one another and we got married. I'll tell you what is a challenge is falling in like with your spouse. There's only been a couple times in our marriage where she has said this, but it cuts to the bone. Where she'll say, right now, I don't like you, right? Oh, but learn to like the person that God has put in your path. And don't forget that it sounds ridiculous. We say we love them and we know that we would fight for them tooth and nail and do anything for them. Well, learn to like them along the way. Enjoy the journey. I see this couple over here that's been married for 3,000 years.
Yeah.
I want to be like that.
Amen.
In 2,500 years.
Yeah.
I really do. I want to have a happy smile and enjoy serving Christ. Amen. with my elderly spouse. Wouldn't that be awesome? We have so many. I'm way faster than him. I'm not worried.
Oh, I got stories I could tell. That's all right.
We have so many good couples in here to look up to, and it's a biblical example to
Amen.
Look to the elders.
Right.
And us younger couples, we want to learn from you, and we are learning, and we're watching you. So stay faithful, stay steadfast, because it blesses me. So,
Amen.
I'm way younger than him. But one thing we did establish early on in our marriage is the Lord had kind of convicted both of us that when we do fight, that we actually go apologize to each other. But to take it a step further, we, instead of saying it's all right or that's okay, it's not okay. We had to force ourselves at first to say, I forgive you, because those words are very strong, and they have more meaning than it's okay. Because saying it's okay is a lie, and usually you're still holding on to it. But if you say, I forgive you, you are releasing that, and then you can be in unity again with that. And so that's what I would say is just being forgiving and saying those words, I forgive you.
I think about and having successful marriages that how much time did you spend learning? How much time did you spend invested in the job that you have, whether it's, an engineering degree or whatever it is, learning plumbing and being a master plumber, that investment and the time and study and the work that went into it in order for you to be a successful engineer or be a successful plumber or be a successful whatever it may be. You spent energy, time, all those things in that. Why wouldn't you spend energy and time on the most important thing in your life besides the Lord in your marriage? Of learning your spouse. What does your spouse need? What are her needs? What are his needs? And learning that men and women are different. They are different. I don't care what the liberals say. They're different. We're different. We're wired different. And learning the differences. Read the Love Language book by Chapman. Read books like His Needs, Her Needs by Hurley. Read the Love and Respect book by whoever that is. There's lots of good books out there you can read that back up the Bible. They're based upon the Bible, and they'll help you. And so there ought to be, again, marriage takes some work. And so there's just some great ways. The family conference we just had, we have the Connect conference again with Worth Baptist Church in the fall. Taking the time, spending a little money, investing in your marriage is so important. So, and the practicality, right? I know I use Brother Ivy. Some of y'all remember Brother Ivy just passed away. Brother Ivy, I mean, he was a rough guy. He really was. But I remember asking him, why are you Miss Pat, been married for 57 years? He said, we never go to bed mad at each other. We always get it right at the end of the day. So that's awesome. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, the Bible says. And just taking that time. Thank you guys very much. And appreciate you. We are, we'll let you go down if you would. And I think we will have a verse invitation. If we could have a pianist, and we'll do that tonight. Maybe the Lord set your heart about something tonight, and we're going to sing him, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Let's all stand. Appreciate our couples. Let's give them a hand. And I think Brother Cox needs a second hand. Sorry, Miss Jeannie, didn't mean to pick on you. And such a great couple. I have decided to follow Jesus after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the night. Thank you for these great testimonies. And Lord, may we spend time. May we put the effort in. Lord, may your Holy Spirit, we can't do it without you. And Lord, I pray that you would empower us and strengthen us, enable us in our marriage to have a godly, successful marriage. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we say.